March is going to be a busy month. We have a lot going on during the month of March. It is good to see everybody. I would ask something of you. I certainly have been needing your prayers this past week and encourage you to ask you to pray for me this coming week. We've had problems at school, and it's been really difficult lately, and I could certainly use your encouragement and your prayers. So if you would remember me, I would really appreciate it. We have started looking at what's commonly called the Sermon on the Mount. Early days of Jesus' ministry. It's called, of course, the Sermon on the Mount because it says he went up into a mountain. And from there, he began this lesson on, or what we call, the Sermon on the Mount. And while it was primarily written to the disciples, also we find at the end of the lesson that it was for all. The kingdom would be coming in a little over 3 years from this time. Jesus is getting his disciples, getting people ready for that kingdom so that when it comes, they would be prepared to enter it. And so he gives in this what's sometimes called the constitution of the church. Sometimes it's a manual for living in the kingdom, and it has all kinds of names. It, of course, begins with what we commonly call the Beatitudes, those statements about how to have God's divine favor, to be blessed divinely. And, of course, we looked at several of those already about being poor in spirit, being the foundation of all the Beatitudes. It's really, being poor in spirit is really the foundation quality or principle characteristic that anyone must have to be a disciple. Because it's that attitude and spirit that allows you to be humbled, allows you to submit your life to Christ. Not looking at doing what you want or what anybody else wants. It's only about what Christ wants. And so, to enter the kingdom, to be a disciple, someone must have that spirit and that attitude. And that's the beginning of the Beatitudes. We talked about those who mourn, the meek, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, the merciful, the pure in heart, and the peacemakers. And that brings us down to verse 10 of Matthew chapter 5. He says, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Those who suffer because of their loyalty to the kingdom, it says, will receive great rewards. This is a theme, though, that's throughout the Bible. Peter mentions it in 1 Peter chapter 3 about what Christians will go through. 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 13. And, of course, much of 1 Peter is about suffering, about how the Christians will suffer. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 13 and following. "And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what's good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you're blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that's in you, with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. For it's better if it's the will of God to suffer for doing good than for doing evil." This has been true of God's people throughout time. They have been persecuted. And they've been persecuted for doing what's right. That's basically the idea for righteousness' sake. They were persecuted for doing the right thing. And it's been that way. Remember that great faith chapter, Hebrews chapter 11? The writer talks about a number of people there who were persecuted for righteousness' sake. Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verse 35. The writer says, women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. They might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. Throughout time, God's people have been persecuted like that. Tormented, tortured, and notice kind of buried in that section it says, of whom the world was not worthy. The world is not worthy of those people who are persecuted for doing the right thing. There's not very many people who do that, first of all. And certainly this world is not worthy of those type of people. So God calls us, Jesus calls us here, that and tells us we're blessed if we're persecuted for doing the right thing. I could probably ask for a show of hands of people who've ever been mistreated because they chose to do the right thing. Maybe they were ostracized from their group, or maybe they, someone took vengeance on them or whatever, simply because you did the right thing. Well, the Bible says you're going to be blessed. God's going to grant you divine favor. You will be fortunate. You will be blessed. Because what? Because you chose to do the right thing. Sometimes the right thing leads to death, doesn't it? That's what happened to John the Baptist. Matthew chapter 14, just a few pages over from our main text. Matthew chapter 14, beginning in verse 3. Matthew 14, verse 3, for Herod had laid hold of John and bound him, talking about John the Baptist, and put him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because John had said to him, it is not lawful for you to have her. And although he wanted to put him to death, he feared the multitude because they counted him as a prophet. And of course, we know the rest of the story about where Herod's daughter danced before him, and he had to grant her the wish of having John beheaded. John was persecuted in the extreme because he did the right thing. Herod wanted John to pronounce a blessing on their marriage. But John knew their marriage wasn't right. John knew that Herod should not have his brother's wife. He knew it wasn't right. So he told Herod the truth. It's not lawful for you to have her. You know, it's sad, but so many Christians today they just don't have the courage to say that. But think about how many people are married and it's unlawful for them to have that particular spouse. Oh my, the numbers are astronomical. But see, John didn't give in. He didn't cave in. He told the truth. He told Herod what was right. And because of that, ultimately that led to his death. He was persecuted to the extreme, as was Stephen in Acts chapter 7. Very similar type of case. This, of course, is after the beginning of the church in Acts chapter 7. Stephen is there. He's addressing that council, the Jewish council. And in chapter 7, he talks about basically the history of the whole nation of Israel. Well, in verse 51, Stephen says this, Acts chapter 7, verse 51, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who foretold the coming of the Just One, of whom you now have become the betrayers and murderers, who've received the law by the direction of angels and have not kept it. He's telling the leaders, the Jewish leaders, you not only persecuted the prophets, basically he says all of them in one way or another, throughout generations you persecuted the prophets that God sent. Usually the prophet's message was what? Repent. If you wanted to reduce it to one term, that's what the prophets often told the people they needed to do. Repent. So what did these Jewish people did? These Jewish leaders, what did they do? They persecuted the prophets. And he said, not only have you persecuted the prophets throughout time, but you even betrayed and murdered the Just One, the Son of God. Jesus never did anything wrong. He did what was right, and as a result, he died. He was murdered. Jesus was murdered. That's what Stephen said. So Stephen is here. He's standing up. He's telling the people what they need to hear. They need to hear the fact that they betrayed and murdered the Messiah. He was doing what was right. And we know it was what was right because the Holy Spirit was telling him what to say. Well, notice the reaction. Next verse, verse 54. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed at him with their teeth. It's interesting, that's the same phrase as used in Acts chapter 2, isn't it? Those Jewish people in Acts chapter 2, after they heard Peter and the apostles' message, they were cut to the heart. Same phrase. But they responded in a positive way. They accepted the truth. They repented and were baptized. Here, these Jewish leaders did just the opposite. They were cut to the heart, but that cutting made them do what? Respond in anger and hatred and ended up killing Stephen. Why? Because Stephen did what was right. He was persecuted for righteousness' sake. So back to our text. Blessed are you, are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We become closer to heaven, don't we, when we're persecuted. The prophets were persecuted. The apostles were persecuted. Early Christians were persecuted. Our Savior was persecuted for doing what's right. We become closer to the kingdom when we also are persecuted. He says, blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. That's been going on for ages. People have blasphemed the name of Christ, haven't they? They've blasphemed the name Christian. You know, in our society, people, whenever someone says they're a Christian in any way that they say they're a Christian, they're almost automatically looked down upon. You're a Christian? People who claim to be Christians are often reviled and they're persecuted. They're spoken of falsely. People who claim to believe the Bible, they're reviled and they're persecuted. Far worse in other countries probably than in ours, but certainly in ours as well. You know, if you say you believe in the Bible, you believe that God created this world, He created man, you're looked upon as someone that's just stupid. So we're reviled, we're persecuted. People say all manner of evil against us. But Jesus says, when that happens, be exceedingly glad. For great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. It happened in the New Testament. Acts chapter 5. Early days of the church. The church had only been around a short period of time, but Acts chapter 5, the church, Christians are being persecuted. And in Acts chapter 5, notice verse 41. Acts chapter 5, verse 41. Peter and the apostles had basically stood up again to the council, the Jerusalem council. They had told them that we ought to obey God rather than men. In verse 41, they had been told, they had been beaten, verse 40. They had been told not to speak in the name of Jesus and let go. So they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name. They had been beaten. And so what did they do? When they left, they got together and rejoiced that they had been beaten. They were rejoicing that they had been told not to preach anymore. And what does the next verse say they did? They went preaching. Why? Because they ought to obey God rather than men. And so sometimes when you obey God rather than men, what happens? People revile you and persecute you and speak all manner of evil against you. That's what they do. Why? It's been going on for a long time. They did that to prophets in the Old Testament. Just a few of them. In 1 Kings chapter 19, we read about Elijah. 1 Kings chapter 19. And in verse, I think it's the very beginning of that chapter. Chapter 19, beginning verse 1. 1 Kings 19, verse 1. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, also how he had executed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, "So let the gods do to me and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." He's being threatened by Jezebel. And when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life and went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. And then it talks about what happened in those days and in that time. And then down in verse 10, "So he said, 'I've been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts. For the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life.'" Elijah was constantly persecuted. But of course you go on and God answers him and says, "No, you're not the only one. There's a whole bunch left." But Elijah had been persecuted, been ran out essentially of the city. And why? Because he had done what was right. He had done the right thing. And so he was persecuted for doing the right thing. A few other places. Jeremiah. There's a couple of places in Jeremiah. And Jeremiah's life as a prophet was extremely difficult. It seems like he didn't have any reprieve during his life. He was constantly persecuted by someone. But there were other prophets that Jeremiah talks about that were also persecuted. Jeremiah chapter 26, verse 23. "And they brought Urijah from Egypt and brought him Jehoiakim, the king, who killed him with the sword and cast his dead body into the graves of the common people." That's what they did to him. He was a prophet. They didn't like what he said. Didn't like his message. Didn't like the words that he said. So what did they do? They just killed him. Well, they thought that'll shut him up. We'll just kill him. Same book, Jeremiah chapter 37. This is about Jeremiah himself. Jeremiah 37, verse 15. Jeremiah 37, verse 15. "Therefore the princes were angry with Jeremiah, and they struck him and put him in prison in the house of Jonathan the scribe, for they had made that the prison. And when Jeremiah entered the dungeon and the cells, and Jeremiah had remained there many days, then Zedekiah the king sent and took him out." He had to be in that dungeon. He had to be in the cells. He had to be in that prison for many days. Why was he there? Because he was only going to prophesy to the people what God told him to prophesy. He wasn't going to tell them that everything was fine and that they didn't need to change. See, he did what was right. Result, he was cast into prison. You can go throughout the Bible and find case after case, example after example, of people of God, regardless of what time they lived, who, because they did the right thing, which was what God wanted them to do, they were persecuted. They were reviled. They were thrown in the dungeon. They were tortured, and on, and even killed, simply because they did the right thing. God tells us here to rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Why? Because there is a great reward. Hebrews chapter 10, the Hebrew writer talks about this. Hebrews chapter 10, and this will end our lesson. Hebrews 10, beginning in verse 32. The writer says this, in talking to these Hebrew Christians, and these are Christians that the writer is addressing, he says, "But recall the former days in which, after you were illuminated, you endured a great struggle with sufferings, partly while you were made a spectacle, both by reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you became companions of those who were so treated. For you had compassion on me in my chains, and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods." And notice this last part of the verse. "Knowing that you have a better and an enduring possession for yourselves in heaven." That's the blessing. That's why you rejoice. That's why you're exceedingly glad. Because regardless of what happens to you, whether you're tortured, whether you're reviled, whether you're persecuted, whether you lose all your friends, whether your family doesn't talk to you anymore, on and on and on, whatever the list may be, as long as you do the right thing, you practice righteousness. That's what you're doing. You're doing the right thing. You're pleasing God and not man. As long as you're doing that, your reward is going to be great. You will have a better and an enduring possession in heaven. That's a great promise. Yes, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That kingdom of heaven has been opened for nearly 2,000 years. Those people on Pentecost entered the kingdom of heaven by doing what? Repenting and being baptized. They experienced the new birth just exactly like people have been doing every day since. Yes, the Christian life isn't a bed of roses, but the rewards are out of this world. Reward in heaven. And if that's your desire, I encourage you to do that very thing this evening as we stand and sing this song.